Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Mandela.
Latrice Royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got, trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop, even if you get the chop, chop, chop.
Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila.
Where we give you the weekly recap and rundown of Canada's Drag Race, who's on top,
and who gets the chop. Let's chop it up, Latrice.
Woo! Let's chop it up. This week we have a super special guest. She's our other mom and is known to be quite outspoken when it comes to opinions in the Drag Race franchise. Here to dish and gab about Canada's Drag Race, it's the one, the only, legendary My Sister Willa!
Hey,
hi, girls. How are you doing, sisters?
We are better now that we see your face.
Y'all are painted.
Girl, this is a light. You know what it is.
I got some nails on and one shoe.
Oh, well, you're doing better than me. Yeah. I'll work. I'm wearing my Jimbo shirt today.
I love Jimbo. I am a Jimbo stan. I met Jimbo randomly.
Did you? And
yeah, but I was too high to remember.
Oh, that's
twice.
You know, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about all the girls on Canada's Drag Race, because, you know, like, we tour so much that sometimes when you meet the local queens, like, you're there for a day, you do your number, you hit the stage, and then you're out. And I don't know if I've met any of these queens, but I have a feeling I have, actually.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah, I worked up there in January and February this year, but I met Jimbo at Burning Man a few years ago. He brought Alaska flowers and he came to our trailer and, like, he met us, and then I saw him at World Pride again, too, but I don't remember any of World Pride because it was my birthday, and I did so many drugs.
I just had a birthday as well, and I did lots of drugs, and I think I might have met Jimbo as well, just well, randomly here in my house.
Nice.
So, Willem, let's talk about this episode.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so the queens, well, last week, they teamed up, and they did, like, those campy late night law firm commercials, and then they had the denim on denim runway for the Canadian tuxedo category. And after some questionable judging, Rita Baga won the maxi challenge, and Boa and Alona were in the bottom. Bo lost the lip sync, and now she's left the competition.
I still want to know how Bo was wearing a breastplate, but her breastplate managed to sweat somehow. How was it? So her titties were so wet. And I was like, how do you do that? They were wet titties.
It's called high end drag, girl. Like,
oh,
every detail is thought of, I guess.
I thought it was weird that she brought her laundry to dry too on that clothesline that she wore on the runway.
Wow.
But you know, there's a pot for every lid.
There's a pot for every lid. And I
well, unless you're in my kitchen, yeah. Because I can never find lids for my pots.
No, I just meant I wanted her to give me some pot and I wanted her to put a lid on it.
Oh. Well, damn.
Well, now you don't have to worry about her because she's not on the show anymore.
Yeah, no.
I liked her. I think everybody is, there's only one person that kind of annoys me, and it's not worth even talking about, but especially when I'm wearing this hair. I don't have much room.
No comment. Okay.
This episode's Thank you. This episode's fun, though, because it's a pageant, and I think we all have a little bit of pageant experience, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen you in your pageant days, Willoughby.
I paid my tab.
You did that. But yeah, this episode, Miss Loose Jaw. But when we get into the workroom, we see the lipstick message, and it just says, nice, love boa.
Nice.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girls talk about how much they love boa, and they're happy that the world gets to meet her.
Lemon isn't very bothered that all the girls said she should go home because she's like, well, bitch, I guess I need to focus on me since everybody else is.
But maybe she should have focused on that denim outfit, and then maybe they wouldn't have told her to go home.
Don't call that an outfit. That was mostly dryer lint trap scraps and a little bit of Levi Straussing, but I don't know about outfit.
It looked like the rejects from Crossroads when they're like, these jeans aren't designer enough. We'll just, throw them in the back.
Yeah. Throw them in the dryer with some razor blades and a kind of like a yellow wig.
Damn.
Ouch. Well, Scarlett Bobo, she's feeling defeated because she still hasn't had a win. Well, she's maybe a little bit pissed. We don't even know. Like, she's just going through all the feels. She's trying to hold it back, but like everyone can tell that she is definitely a little livid about winning yet.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's like, I could believe Alona hasn't won anything, but I can't believe I haven't won anything.
That part.
Yeah, I mean, she's seen the show before. She knows that complaining will like only like make you more like apt for them to like either let you fail bigger. So I just think she should keep a lid on it, keep her nose down, fly right, and be concerned with herself instead of like worrying about other girls winning. Because like, even if she does the best, at this point, I think she knows she's not going to win the competition, right?
Well,
I don't know. You
guys have gone a lot farther than me. I've made it to right where she is, and I won so frequently I don't share the pain and excruciation that she does. But
oh my God.
I mean, I can imagine, though, like, when you're in the workroom and all it is about, like, trying to, like, win something, like, not winning is, like, I don't know. I just feel, I feel bad for her because, like, she is doing very well. But because she doesn't have that win under her belt, like, she's starting to doubt herself. And it's like, and she has no problem telling everyone in the workroom about it. So,
yeah, well,
I mean, whatever. Anyway,
whatever.
Rue has her her message. It's, you know,
ooh,
talking about pageants.
Yeah, my Mabel Tarte's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Whether you're Miss Congeniality, Best in Show, or Lovely Fifth Alternate, just make sure your page is on fire.
Okay. So, I mean, from the coming up next week on last week's episode, I'm assuming that we're going to be talking about pageants. That's why I'm fully in a gown, Got my updo. I'm wearing
honey,
a gown.
Did that.
Honey, I could see that gown isn't zipped from here.
Actually, it is for the people watching the YouTube version of this, you can see it, but for the people listening, the clasp broke. This is an old ass dress, girl.
Leave it to Willem to call it out.
Remember Jinx had that safety pin holding up that little Velvet American Apparel gown that she was pumping through two different Murray and Peter tours? I was like, this is a winner.
Well, at least she could afford the nice, like, steel, expensive, sturdy safety pins. The one that'll last you an entire tour long, right?
Yeah, this is true. Who took my good pin? It was with my bobby pins. I needed that one. When you tell a girl she could borrow a pin, don't take that one.
Well, I need it back. I'm going to need this one back, bitch.
Oh, that's the other T, yes. Always, I need that pin back, please. That was a good pin.
That was one of the ones I stole from Bianca. I need that back.
Oh, yes. When Bianca Del Rio gives you a pin or a hair pin or something,
bitch,
you keep that forever. And you never let it go, honey.
I'm glad it's Brooke this week, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brooke comes into the workroom and there's no mini challenge gag, which means that there's no pit crew, unfortunately. But she says that the queens will now be competing for the crown and coveted title of Miss Loose Jaw. This pageant is about all about small town girls with unique personalities, and they will each be assigned a character and need to bring their character to life. And of course, it's Drag Race, so they have to make it funny.
They got to make it funny. And Rita Baga, because she, was last week's winner, she gets to assign the characters to all the girls.
So they have all these different pageant queens. So Rita picks Mismatched. She assigns Jimbo as Misbehavin', the slutty one.
Scarlett gets Misinformed, right? But I don't really remember that one that much. What was that supposed to be?
That's supposed to be the know-it-all. The know-it-all most.
She thinks she knows it all. Yeah, she thinks she knows it all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I swear I know it all, even though I don't know shit. Yes. Lemon gets Misfits, the bratty, spoiled pageant girl. And Ilona gets Miserable, the sad, depressed one. And Priyanka gets Misdemeanor.
Missy Elliott.
The angry
okay.
one.
I have a problem with some of these roles from the top, because it's like Rita, like, I don't see her as the young romantic ingenue lead that, like, this mismatch thing would have, you know,
mismatch of it all right there.
Honestly. You got it.
You got it.
I think she did herself a disservice with trying to stretch.
Was she trying to stretch, or did she think that that was actually her? What was the mismatch? Because, okay, fast forwarding ahead, like while watching the challenge or the pageant, like I didn't quite understand like what mismatched personality was even supposed to be in the first place. So what was it?
Well, her claim was that it was supposed to be the hopeless romantic who has faith in love and humanity and the optimist and all that.
Oh, and she never finds the right love.
Right. So I think, okay. Well, we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. Honey. Okay. So Brooke comes through for her walk around. Lemon tells Brooke that it appears that the girls have a personal problem with her, you know, based on all of them calling her out.
I think when they asked all the girls who should go home this week, they should have just said Jeffrey. Because I need him to get a tailor on set to let those pants down.
Wow.
I get it. You don't want to wear socks. But your ankles aren't doing it for me, baby. Like, I love them and stuff, but, like, I would have been like, you need to go home and stop finger painting that glitter on your face and let the union artist do it. That makeup, you know she just went like this in, like, the little sample pot and went corner.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So
I'm not mad because I did the same thing. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I have two wisp lashes on top. I forgot my good lashes. I'm a mess.
Okay, well, maybe you are. Maybe you should be judging next season.
You should be qualified. You're qualified, darling. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Priyanka is talking with Brooke, and she's worried because she was choking during Snatch Game, and now like this is another improv challenge, and so she needs to do better this week. I'm rooting for Priyanka because I freaking love her, but like
Me
another
too.
Improv challenge, and I'm and, like, I'm worried. Whatever. I'm worried.
We shouldn't be, but we are. And here we are. Yeah. Rita has a little pressure on herself because she want to represent, you know, all of her, you know, her house and the French Canadian queens. And she doesn't want to seem vulnerable, but I'm thinking that a good leader, a strong leader, shows vulnerability. Like, you have to do that. But I know you want to be strong for your house, but it ain't about that.
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel for Rita because, like, in this competition, like, when all the girls are whining and bitching, like, that's, like, them showing off their weaknesses. And in this competition, I feel like when the girls are expressing that, it actually, like, comes back to bite them in the ass. So I don't blame Rita for trying to hold it together in this competition. So
well, in the competition, yeah. Yeah, I see that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Scarlett, she's still frustrated because she hasn't won anything.
Poor thing.
You know? But
and she's so deserving, though. She's good. She's really good.
Yeah, I think that she's being very hard on herself, and she's not really, like, looking at the fact that, you know, like what Brooke said, slow and steady wins the race. Like, yeah. She could literally, like, outlast all these queens, because even the queens that are winning stuff have been tripping and falling and ending up in the bottom. And as long as Scarlett stays the steady course and never lands in the bottom, she can make it all the way to the end. So yeah. I don't know what her problem is.
I mean,
is.
Right. Juju did it, right? Yeah. Juju didn't win a challenge for her first two times on the game.
True.
And, like, she still didn't win. Never mind.
Damn.
But she made it to the end. She made it to the end.
Made it to
all
the end,
times
though.
She did it, right? She did make it to the end.
What do you think about Brooke, though, talking with Alona about, like, the I feel like her getting out the story about being a First Nations two-spirited person is, like, the cue that means, oh, let's get all your story out.
Wow. You know so much about production, Willem. You know.
They said, Brooke, why don't you go just talk to her about it and, like, help her grab her bags, make sure she has her, make sure she's checked in on the Delta app.
Girl, she...
I was getting a little sense of that a little bit, but hey, you know what though, like, good for production, because, like, it's getting close. Like, she's been in the bottom a few times and she doesn't seem to have any, like, I mean, she doesn't seem to be excelling anymore, so, like, get that story out, girl, so you don't leave here, like, without being able to fully tell your story.
Let's continue.
Well, I live for Jimbo, and so do you, bitch. I see your shirt
right
now. I do,
right? And they've got it on sequin and stuff. They do not come stoned.
Did it come like that?
No, it did not, bitch. I sat there and stoned it myself.
That took at least one blunt.
At least a blunt, bitch. And so I did that after I got done stoning all my masks that I sold and stuff. So
nice. It worked.
But yeah.
It worked. So Jimbo, she has a sketch comedy background already. So, and then she's also a trained clown, and then she's a drag clown as well. So my expectations for Jimbo and this pageant is really high, and I'm expecting her to do very well in this. For
same.
Sure.
Same.
Same. I don't think there's anything that she can't do. So bring it, Jimbo.
It's almost time for the pageant, so let's take a break and listen to a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts, and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Oh, we got some mail?
Ooh, girl, mailbag.
Okay, hey, we're back. And we got a message in our inbox from one of our listeners. Latrice and Manila. When Brooke announced that the pageant on this week's episode was named Miss Loose Jaw, I was so happy because it's a play on Moose Jaw, which is a small city about 33,000 people in the province of Saskatchewan, known for having the world's largest moose statue, and underground tunnels supposedly used by Al Capone back in the day of bootlegging alcohol during the Prohibition. Ooh, this is like a full-on, like, lesson right here. I would know because I lived there to attend college and I worked in tourism of the city. So when Priyanka said that it was like a small town pageant that would be held in a Legion Hall, I had to laugh because that's definitely Moose Jaw vibes. All right, so this is a message from Skylar. So thanks, Skylar, for letting us know that Moose Jaw was Moose Jaw.
Have they been letting y'all have it and letting you know stuff?
They have been very kind in letting us know because we are definitely ignorant. And so they have the option and to email us both at latricemanila@gmail.com. And so you never know what'll happen. We might even get your email on the show. So thanks, Skylar.
Yes, and thanks to all our listeners for edumacating us and all that is Canadian.
It's time for the page, y'all. And, you know, I love a good page. I'm from the pageant background as myself, and, you know, I pride myself on being a good pageant girl. The pageant is hosted by Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, and the pageant judges Michelle Dewberry, Tracy Melker, and Stefan Brogren. Is it Brogren or Brogren?
I don't know, but he was on Degrassi. He was on, I watched him on, he was like the principal or the father or one of the characters on Degrassi, The Next Generation. But then I had also watched Degrassi, the original from like the 80s.
And ooh,
he was
Drake.
Like a kid back then. It was nice to see him again.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it reminded me when I watched, you know, shows about kids in high school.
Bitch, Drake was even cute back then. If he was 18, I would have called him Meals on Wheels.
Oh.
That's right.
Hell yeah. Now, I'm excited that Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is participating in the pageant, but I really wanted him to travel, not host.
Wow. Out call. Massage. Uh-huh.
Release me.
The pageant flows like a standard pageant. You have the introductions, then they provided, you know, blue dresses for everybody doing the same walk, you know, and formations and hands.
They did a little production moment.
Very Miss Congeniality tease.
You're one in a million.
I totally.
Latrice and Manila. They host the Chop on the Mom Network.
See, songwriter, producer, mogul. Oh, my God.
Ooh, come on, Metal Straw, not killing the environment.
Hello.
Oh, atta girl. Nice paper. So I'm killing the trees only, you know. But the sea turtles are cool. Anyway, so then we have the talent portion, which is, like, I think, like, the bulk of this pageant. Ilona as Miserable paints a still life and herself. Oh. It's very Manila Luzon All-Stars 4 and Mariah All-Stars 5, I think.
Hybrid.
Girl.
But not as good.
This gave me fucking Trevor Project. Like, someone needs to call a hotline. And you know how Ben made, like, that Miserable girl that one year on All-Stars, like, still funny. Like funny. She found no way to imbue this presentation with any humor. And that was a big mistake.
During her talent, I actually laughed out loud because it was just so ridiculous. But, you know, like, it wasn't actually like, I think it was just, I was laughing because it was just ridiculous, not because she was trying to be funny.
Some girls, you shouldn't pass the mic after their number. You know, they're not good with the quickness. And Alona's a great performer. I saw her lip sync before, you know, and... But girl, you can let her answer, but don't give her the mic. Don't you surrender?
Right.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Yeah.
I see it.
Well, Priyanka as Misdemeanor wasn't that much better. Was she was doing this like interpretive dance where she's just kind of stomping around.
Oh man.
There was a funny moment where she like stops and gives birth, but that was about it, right?
I mean, she kind of got that stick-in-the-mud thing, like the hard thing, and she wasn't saying much and keeping that blank face. And like it felt like kind of like an improv that went down a cul-de-sac. You know, it didn't keep going. There weren't any turns, and she was just doing her thing like in her own little bubble and not using the environment and everybody else to her advantage to like play off of, I thought.
Yeah, I think that like she kind of had this idea that she would be pregnant and then that would kind of be enough. You know, and it didn't go anywhere, exactly. Well, then we have Jimbo as Misbehaved, and she's being sexy and making animal calls.
Big dick snake.
Double held a dildo bird.
Suddenly I'm into aviary.
I thought she was freaking hilarious. I mean, hilarious. I expected a Jimbo to be hilarious.
I love that Canada has its own detox too, because Scarlett and Dee went to the same guy, I think, and they both play drums.
Pumped.
I mean, I think Scarlett's kind of a baby of Phoenix and Detox.
Right. I could see that.
Scarlett did her bongo number. I thought that was really cute. I thought that was fun.
I thought it was cute, and I like that production definitely helped her by adding like the little sounds that
when she was like doing the little crystal glass rimming, like
they were very kind to do that because it helped make the number better.
Well, last week I was saying that the people that are in charge of the sound effects are really taking their job very seriously, so they went all in for this talent performance. Mm-hmm. How about Lemon as Misfits doing the mime?
Accurate.
So skilled that she didn't even need to, like, she just knows her body and it's such a great tool for her, and just it was so funny.
Yeah, funny. I was like, girl, is she a real mime? Like, this is pretty damn good. like she really had like me believing that she was door. Like, I loved when she was trying to push the door and then she like, oh, it's a pull.
I mean,
right, that right there, I was like, okay, this bitch is fucking doing the best right here. So that was sickening. And then we had Rita Baga as Mismatched wrapping gifts.
Well, what are you doing?
Poppers, it's the only way to make Rita's performance good right now.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like the pink paper.
I kind of wish that she did it. I wish that she kind of set it up a little bit. Like, she could have been like, hey, and for my talent, I'm going to be rapping.
Oh, that would have been funny.
That would have been.
Oh, girl,
that's
just.
Out like a, put the, you know, do something. Make that a would rap.
That in French.
In French.
She could have said anything and everyone would have been like, oh, okay, sure.
Nobody would have known. She's like the Northern Yara Sophia. It's just funny.
Yeah. That was a disappointment for me.
She did not have you and Willem there to give her any kind of coaching. So we got what we got.
Maybe it's because she speaks French that she wasn't able to put the pun together. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, thank God there's a swimsuit competition.
Maybe rapping and rapping are two very separate words in Le Franche.
I guess so. But yeah, like it is. Yeah, at least we have swimsuit, and a Q&A, because you know you got to be smart. And then Michelle Dewberry steals the crown and leaves early because she thought the pageant was whack anyway.
Can we talk about the disrespect though? That she already had a crown and she's going to take this little Claire's trinket. Like, she would take that? Like, at least use a good prop crown.
Yeah, that was, like, Brooklyn could have brought your money. Here's one of my old crowns.
Yeah. From Miss Seesaw USA or something.
I mean, we know they're disrespectful with crowns. They didn't even give Shay one on the crown, and they just said, here, hold this shiny stick.
Wow.
They did.
Well, that's because they're afraid that they're going to drop the crown when they film all three.
All three.
Takes.
Oh, like Fifi?
Yeah, like when her diamonds were falling off of her outfit. Yeah.
Like diamonds from the corset. Michelle DuBarry is great. I looked her up after seeing this, and DuBarry was a lady.
Yeah. And she's gorgeous. Like, legendary and fabulous still to this day. Hilariously funny. And she was reading those girls, letting them have it. She's like, is this it? Is this what we get, bitch? Like,
right?
I could have stayed at the house with this, you know. But
and then she left.
Yeah, and she left. She punched it, Patty.
She's like, hit it.
She's like, I don't need to stay.
Screw that.
I love it.
Well, now it's elimination day, and we have the girls getting ready in the mirror, and Scarlett is cranky as fuck, and she's getting into a fight with Alona about
nothing.
It's about nothing. They just keep fighting.
So stupid. She dropped her eyeliner or something. Then she's like, I'm a mess. And then Alona went, you are a mess. And then Scarlett's like, I've never said anything negative about you this whole competition. Alona's like, yes, you have. Blah, 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 blah. It's all just like generalities of fighting. And they all need a good dick down. That's what it is. None of these girls have had dick since like probably 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also Alona just loves to express herself. Just let me express myself.
How dare you tell me how to feel?
I mean, but you're in a pressure cooker. You know this. Like, you kind of have to release the steam somehow. You know what I mean? So you might as well do it on camera so the whole world can see, right?
It's so petty. It's so petty. It's so petty.
Lori petty.
But then the queens, they start talking about Michelle DuBarry. You know, she is a Canadian legend and the oldest working drag queen in the world. I don't know if that's true, because I know of another queen that's
pretty old. Yeah, in Seattle, right?
Right, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly. Her. So I don't know about that being a fact.
Maybe in Canada.
Maybe in Canada, but not the world, because I definitely know this 88-year-old queen that's in Seattle. She might be 90 now. But she's been doing drag since the 50s. And so, like, you know, back then you had to wear some form of male attire underneath your drag, or else you can be arrested and thrown in jail. So you had to have on, like, Fruit of a Looms or some boxers underneath that skirt.
I had some fruit in my poon.
I think it's great that the girls are taking time to really like show their respect and just kind of speak about the queens that have pioneered and, you know, trailblazed so that we all can be doing what we're doing now. And I think that that was a really, really important and touching moment from the show.
Amen.
Manila, do you have any like drag elders that you like look up to?
Yes. It would be the cast of the Ladies of La Femme at the Gay 90s in Minneapolis.
Oh, work.
When I first started drag in Minnesota, I would go to their drag show, and it's still one of my favorite drag shows ever. It's like, have you been to the Gay 90s?
Yeah, I was there when I worked at the other bar that's like 5 or 6 blocks down the road.
Saloon.
Same side of the street. I forget what it was, Saloon. But there's like a big fireplace.
They have like a really nice cabaret upstairs above the club, and they have just like an amazing drag show that just goes on all night. And these queens like they work their asses off. And they also have a really fantastic dressing room. Each queen has their own dressing room, which is like unheard of.
Well,
There's Roxy Marquis, who just recently passed. There is Monica West, Cece Russell. All these queens are my inspiration, and they kind of helped me kind of figure out the early going ons of drag. So those are my elders, even though they were in their prime at the time. Those are my elders.
Yeah. What about you, Latrice?
I have definitely down here my local legends and. Who I refer to as my drag mom. She's Tiffany Ariagas. And then legends like Electra, Nikki Adams, Dana Manchester, who's passed away. But like these are the women that really helped me see what drag and female impersonation was about. And so I learned a lot from them, and I base a lot of my career path and business ethics and etiquette from these legends who've been doing it and still doing it to this day. So
nice. Yeah.
What about you, Willem? You didn't really come up in a drag, you know, scene. You know, you're Miss Hollywood industry, but you discovered your family a lot later. But do you have legends that you look up to?
Yeah, I have a lot of the New York girls were always the ones that were, to me, the funniest that I gravitated to, like Bunny and like Bob and Sugar Pie Coco.
We just lost. Oh, my God. Yeah. We just lost. I just
saw that on Bianca or Bunny's thing. And I like remember being 18 and 19 going to shows and being like, this bitch, so funny, yeah. Fearless. Yeah. Any comedy queen, pretty much. Yeah. So rest in peace, her.
Yeah.
Lace fronts in the sky.
Well, here's to Sugar Pie. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about the main stage and get to Ali X.
Drink up.
Cheers.
Cheers, Sugar Pie Coco. You got the chop.
And we're back.
Bring it to the runway.
With our extra special guest host, Ali X.
She does a good little job with the introductions, and she does the hand, you know, gives a little speech.
I was here for her. I love her style. Yeah. She's real cute. She seems
real respectful, and she seems real, like, enamored by drag. So I'm glad that she's there.
Yeah. So the runway, drag perfection, darling. Perfection. We're looking for polished gowns, stones, hair, style. Okay, we'll see.
Would you have worn any of the gowns that pumped down this runway?
Rita Baga, let me tell you something. Like, that was the best she's ever looked ever. Like,
well, the dress was sickening.
Like,
but from the forehead up,
well,
I don't know.
There was that part. The dress was sickening. I mean, it was stunning.
The glove was sickening too.
The glove. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She should have put the gloves on as a turban.
Woo!
Oh yes, because she said she was going for this Glenn Close, you know, wearing Terry Mugler. So if she put the turban on, she could have been very Sunset Boulevard. That hair was not doing it for me though.
Honey, she needs to go Glenn Farr if she wants to wear that wig. And I'm
very
just
saying. I would have worn everything that Scarlett was wearing. I mean, including the wig, because
you're already wearing it.
It was you.
she looks sickening. She literally looks sickening.
I thought Priyanka looked beautiful, but I probably just would have gone with lemons because it was funny and cute, and her feet probably didn't hurt.
Oh my God, lemon was that was such a creative take on the pageant princess, yes. Like whatever. I thought that was so fantastic. I thought it was hilarious that like Brooklyn was just so gagged, like. I would have never thought about that.
That's why she had to win the show. She would have thought better.
Yeah, I liked how Lemon took it out of the box. And I was really worried at first because I was expecting Lemon from up until this point to wear some god-awful, ill-fitting, like, shapeless, you know, navy stretch gown. So this was a delight to see her as, like, the JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
Like,
the hair. It was so perfect. Everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. Tyler's and Tiara's tees. I will say, you know, I am a huge fan and I'm wearing her shirt. How be ever. when Jimbo came and bent that corner and I was just like, what in the actual fuck happened? Girl, what'd you do, girl? Like, I get the camp factor and I get all that, but this was not that moment. This was not that moment. It wasn't campy enough or glamorous enough. to be intentional for me. So it was just a huge miss. And I guess we are, you know, everyone's allowed to have a bad day. And this runway was that for my dear beloved Jimbo, bitch, because that was horrible. That was just horrible.
What about the hair?
I liked the hair. I thought
it looked like a hard front on a Barbie.
Okay, well, I wasn't looking at the hairline, but I did like the concept of the hair. It kind of reminded me of, like, the old 1960s, like, yeah. You know, Crystal LaBeija. Like,
yeah, very bad. Hand rolls, yes.
I really liked the diamonds dripping out of the eyes. And
loved
dripping.
All that.
They weren't clipped to the earlobe. They were dripping out of the ear.
Which was
yeah,
cool.
I liked that.
But
I just felt it was like such like I could just see how expensive she how much money she spent on all those ostrich feathers, you know, like just
and they were in the wrong spot. They were in the wrong spot.
And yeah, they were like on the top.
Yeah, they're on the top. They were like 6-ply. It wasn't not nearly enough feathers to be. Ooh, no. No,
it wasn't a mother pluckered moment. It was a motherfucker moment.
There you go. No. There you go.
But I definitely felt bad about this look. I don't know. It's like the hoop skirt. Like it rarely ever works on Drag Race.
It has to be so like over dramatically done, like fiercely done, or it's gonna look cheap. And look like
yeah,
it's gonna look like a hula hoop that you've strung up on some strings.
That's
what with, yeah. With it looks like you like
a single piece of polyester over it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just because she was so good in the challenge. Like I laughed the most at her in the challenge, and then she came to the runway, and I was just like, oh.
Well, let's get to these judges' critiques because you know they had stuff to say too. I mean, do you think? Like Ilona, they thought that her sad character was just kind of one note and more cranky than sad. I liked her runway look. There was some things wrong with it, but it wasn't the worst thing up there for sure.
Yeah, she had an almost floor length gown, and
it is so hard for queens to get floor length gowns on any season of Drag Race. It's like the hardest thing for anyone.
Girl, Pandora on All Stars 1 with that green fur that ended 8 inches above the floor.
Oh no. Oh no.
And she had a fitting. She had a fitting for that. Someone made that for her. But this runway for Ilona, she put it up on her Instagram later, and she styled it differently in the Instagram photo with better hair, and it made a world of difference.
Oh, see, but
all the jewels on the top. Oh my God, I would take that and put that in my closet right now.
It's a total AB Crystal version of the clear one that Beyonce wore on the Crazy in Love cover, where she's all like.
Oh yes. Yeah. I love it. I think it was sickening. And the entire time I was worried that it was gonna get snagged on something.
That too.
Because
that one too she got. I really was rooting for Priyanka this time. But it didn't seem to work out for her with the judges.
And no. It seems like
yeah, like the gown was beautiful. She looks amazing as usual. But it's just improv is just not her thing. At least improving trying to be funny is not her thing. So
I mean, I feel like it can be her thing. She's very funny naturally. It's when she has to put on a character and then it doesn't come off as funny because she is a funny person. I've worked with her. She's great. She's quick on her toes, good with the audience, good with a mic. But like when she tries to play a character and then be funny, I think it's too many levels of thought in the moment for her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but like
she gets
you
in her head.
Something.
Yeah.
But her wig was pretty.
It was really pretty. Her makeup was gorgeous. She looked really pretty.
Always gorgeous.
Oh my God. Like she looked gorgeous. Can we talk about Scarlett Bobo though for a second? Because the bitch really is good, and she's good at Drag Race. Like there are girls who are good at drag, and there's girls who are good at Drag Race, and she's good at Drag Race, and like she has not faltered. She gets great feedback from her performance in the pageant. They live for her look on the runway. She's so polished. And then she gets tons of praise and from the judges. Like, you just think, I'm rooting for her at this point, you know, because she hasn't had a win. And she's doing everything in her being to stand out. And
yeah.
I just feel for her because I know the frustration of, like, feeling invisible. And, like, she says that she feels that way a little bit. Like, nobody sees her.
But I feel like I'll see her on All Stars.
Bitch, we see you. We see you.
I mean, I think that she she's still in the race. So I don't know why, like, she can't, like, I think she just needs to focus on the fact that she's never been in the bottom.
That goes a long way.
And she's always been at the top. So, like, it just, one of these girls and get overconfident and they're going to fuck up in one of the categories somehow, and she's going to take the whole damn thing. So
stay consistent, girl. Me too. Like, at this point, Scarlett, stay consistent, girl. Consistency
wins
the race.
Also, doesn't Scarlett juggle fire?
She does, and she eats it too. All
right, back in the workroom.
So Scarlett,
Priyanka.
Lost.
Oh my god. I'm sweating so bad.
Oh, the read of all reads coming up with fucking unsolicited advice. This is the first time that I saw you paint older. And then she gives her every opinion that we're all thinking about that dry ass dusty musty wig.
Oh my god, Jimbo going off on Rita Baga is the funniest thing that happens. That was so, they are going in on each other, and I just love Rita's like, now this is unsolicited critiques, but, and then Jimbo's like, not having it. Jimbo goes in. She
bitch
goes
and
in.
Would
she
stop.
Has all of her weapons aimed on Rita. Your hair looks like a grandma, just has dunked her head in the toilet, she
that
said.
Waist looks like a barrel or something. She went in. I talked to Jimbo on Instagram about something yesterday, and he said he was, quote, spicy about still not winning from the week before. And I was like,
well, it showed.
Girl, she was spicy. Yeah. You know what, though? I agreed. Although true. Rita's waist did look snatched. Rita's waist was fine in that dress.
She looked good.
Rita, from the hairline down, Rita looked fantastic. But it was that wig, and Jimbo went in on the wig. And
I did agree she needed a darker earring, though. A black or navy earring would have been really cute.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. How can you nitpick about the earring when she was wearing that hair? Like, the judges didn't say anything about that fucking wig. Like, no one said anything about the wig on the judges.
Well, no, one did. Who was it that said something about the hair?
Alex.
Oh, it was Alex, yes.
Alex, yeah. She was not having it, yeah.
No, but, like, you know, like, if you're going to do that, like, Miranda Priestly, like, you know, short buff, it still has to be drag. It still has to be big. It can't be one of those, oh, I saw it on Facebook, a boy wearing a boy wig. No, I had to, like, check to see if that was, like, her actual hair. I was like, is that her real hair or is that a wig? Like,
girl,
what's going on?
It looks like when you don't have proportionized hair to a man's head, you look like Fred Gwynn, who played Herman Munster originally. Like, it gives that. Like, it's not the right size for your head. You need to, like, make it bigger.
Well, Jimbo was letting everyone know what she thought about that. And I... the funniest thing ever.
It was hilarious.
So Lemon wins this episode. She gets a luxury vacation to Iceland.
Pink Iceland. They're great. They brought me over there. The guy that runs it is named Magnus. He's really cute.
Oh, fair. I agree with this win. I think that Lemon did fantastic in both the runway and in the challenge.
Yeah. Same. Scarlett is safe and she's going through it because she's still hasn't won anything, but she's a lovely first alternate at the page. And then
we have our bottom two, which is Ilona and Priyanka, unfortunately. They get to lip sync a song, Hello by Alix, right in front of Alix, which I think is a really cool thing. What do you guys think of the lip sync?
Look, silence. I actually enjoyed it because I got to see Priyanka, like, redeem her like her quick-wittedness and trying to be funny and like playing off the hello and waving and still using the pageant, you know, like she did a really good job of like showing us that she can improv. And I was like, okay, redeeming moment for me was that.
Yeah, I liked the song and I liked what Priyanka did with it. I think that when Priyanka lip synced last time, you see her come into her power and like transform and just become like this different kind of energy on the stage, and she just like prowls the runway kind of, and like this she totally owned it. Alona kind of parked and barked too. I thought she was in the same spot the whole time doing what she does, but like what she does couldn't compete next to Priyanka. I thought,
well, I thought that Alona started out really strong and she was emoting and she's really good at lip syncing.
Yeah,
but I think that what happened was, and in the beginning, I thought she was slaying it over Priyanka. But Priyanka, once she got to that chorus where she started waving and doing the hello, it was that little extra gag that made it a more entertaining of a thing. My personal thing is that, like, y'all knew in production that they're all going to be in gowns. I just wish that they gave us a power ballad.
Hello. So, Alona went home?
Damn.
Did she punch it yet? Is she by the bus? Is she by the bus? Did she bring her bags out?
We were waiting for you to get back.
Oh, fuck me.
Okay. So, Priyanka wins the lip sync, yes. And then Alona goes home. And then backstage, Alona gets to meet Ali X. You know, she has her lyrics on her arm, which is really cool that she got to meet and hug her. That's a good little consolation prize.
Yeah.
You know, so good.
What a way to go.
What a way to go.
And that lip is sickening, that purple lip.
Alona can paint. She did that. She showed us that for...
She can paint. Her boy interview look was really cute, too.
Yeah. She can paint.
She gave us good TV. We salute you, Alona.
Yeah, I fell in love with Alona. I think that she was an amazing character. And I love all of her looks, and I was rooting for her. So we miss you, Alona, already.
No, not this we.
Oh.
Well, I'm talking about me and all the personalities in my head, girl.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, well, we do this every week, Willem. We pick our tops and our chops. So each week we are going to highlight our tops and our chops of the week, our favorite and our least favorite moments of the episode. Okay. So I'll go first. My top moment of the week was the Jimbo and Rita fight backstage. That had me howling. It's so funny because Jimbo is such a fun character, but to see when she like comes out with like the fangs, it's like, whoa.
Spicy, honey. She was spicy. Honey.
That wasn't medium. That was hot.
That was hot caliente,
honey. Yeah. Yes. Well, my top was probably when Lemon tried to open that door and it wasn't a real door. It snuck me because I was like, what's this? Oh, wow. It just showed me like her brain a little bit. And I get like talent boners whenever I see something. I was like, that's good. Yeah, so she's Lemon's my top of the week probably for that.
I'm going to give Rita Baga a great top moment just for the gown. And gloves for the runway. That was really something that I actually clapped for. And I clapped for her because it was like the best I think she's looked throughout the whole competition. You know, whatever about the hair, but...
The hair was the chop. She literally used, I think, gardening shears.
See,
yeah,
there
actually,
you go.
Well, that is my chop. That is my chop this week. My chop this week is that fucking wig she wore because that, like, that dress, that gown, her look, everything, and then it was like completely fucked with the hair. It looked like some bitch snatched her wig after she won the damn pageant. Which could have been funny if she had a wig in her hand and it was like, someone snatched my wig. But that wig is god awful. I hate that wig.
Honestly, she wasn't wearing that wig. That wig was wearing her out.
Wow.
I mean, it's not like she had a good wig with green tips like pretty girls like us.
I did not get the memo, unfortunately.
We didn't send it.
Oh,
late to the podcast.
What about you, Willem? What's your chop this week?
I think my chop this week is Jimbo giving a fuck. Like in that sit down where he reads Rita.
Yeah.
Like honestly, chop up the fucks and pass them out to all the girls and tell them.
Bam.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I can go with that. Mine is similar. I could deal without that mirror moment with Alona and Scarlett was bogus. Like, what are y'all talking about? What are y'all fighting about? Not a damn thing. Y'all just wasting up camera time, but okay, get your feelings out.
And you know she has her tweezer probably. She took it. She can't find her tweezer.
I mean, but you know what the great thing about this week is?
What?
Jeffrey Boer Chapman is not in our chopping list today. This week. He has now successfully got a bitch. He was on mine 3 weeks in a row, bitch. So, like, congratulations, Jeffrey. You have now graduated. And you're off the chopping block, girl.
See what happens when you wear full leg.
Look,
pants.
I just called him girl.
Damn. Okay. All right. Wow. We are living in the Twilight Zone.
Well, anyway, thank you all so much for listening to The Chop. Thank our very extra special guest, Willem, for joining us this week. We have new episodes every Monday.
And make sure you subscribe to our show and you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast app.
You can also send an email and they might read it on the show next week. You can email them at latriceandmanila@gmail.com. I'm submitting a review right now.
Please do.
Please do.
And you can follow us at Latrice Royale and at Manila Luzon and at WillemIsAFuckingBitch.com.
You know it's a .net, you cunt.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a .org girl.
Damn. That's for her foundation. Thank you, guys. We love you. We'll see you next week to find out
who gets... The Chop.
The Chop is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Creative Canada, or any of their subsidiaries.
It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only.
Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media.
Ma.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Brett Boehm.
Joe Cilio.
And Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.